The DNR commissioner denies an appeal of the Baby Brown timber sale, and with a grant deadline looming, the park at Picture Point takes a few steps closer to completion. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. Earlier this month, the State Department of Natural Resources Commissioner denied an appeal from conservation groups over the proposed Baby Brown timber sale. The 855 acres of old-growth hemlock and spruce would be the largest area put up for sale in the Haines State Forest in decades. KHNS's Emily Files has more.
In April, Haines-based Lynn Canal Conservation was joined by Greenpeace and Cascadia Wildlands in appealing DNR's final best interest finding for the Baby Brown timber sale.
Here we are, still in the dark ages of forestry.
That's LCC President Eric Holly. He thinks the extensive sale area is geared toward an export market, not the local economy.
Cutting them down and exporting them so that there's really very little local processing and very little local benefit.
DNR Commissioner Mark Myers repeatedly emphasizes throughout his 17-page response to the appeal DNR's mandate of multi-use management. He says the department has a dual mission to conserve and develop natural resources. Here he is.
So all in all, looking at that conserve versus, you know, develop balancing, I thought they reached a reasonable balance, but we're not done yet because the sales themselves haven't been designed.
Myers says the sale area is 855 acres, but that doesn't mean that entire area will be harvested.
This does not propose a sale. This opens an area for potential sales, right? And they may do small sales, they may do a larger sale, but it's yet to be determined.
The appellants argue that the size of the sale area puts it out of reach of the local industry, and therefore it is not in the best interest of Alaskans. But Myers says it's not an either-or choice between Baby Brown and an ongoing small timber sale program in the Haines State Forest. He says even if all the acres included in Baby Brown were harvested, there would still be plenty of available board feet for the small operations. Here's another of the appellant's concerns.
Much of this sale will be visible from the Haines Highway, and it would be the first thing that people actually see when they come in from the Yukon coming down the highway.
Holly says that would have an adverse impact on tourism and lower property values. The proposed harvest area is made up of sections of forest between Jarvis and Porcupine Creeks. Meyer says the harvest would happen in a way that minimized but didn't completely eliminate visual impact.
Again, that the devil's in the details of the design of the sale.
Meyer says there's no evidence logging detracts from tourism in recreation areas. Holly's other major concern is the potential impact to fisheries and other old-growth-dependent wildlife. Here's Myers.
I mean, I'm a person, as a scientist, concerned that we have adequate buffers around streams, particularly, you know, given the salmon need certain shading, they need a certain amount of organic material, you know, they need a certain amount of types of habitat. Were the buffers adequate to protect those values?
Myers says when he asked that question of the Division of Forestry, he was satisfied with the protections that are in place. That includes 100-foot buffer zones around anadromous waters.
So I went in with a show-me attitude toward that issue, and they provided me with a strong sense that they were going to provide those protections.
Local forester Greg Palmieri says, as far as he knows, there are four potential buyers interested in portions of the Baby Brown sale. Two are from Southeast, but not Haines, and the others are from the Lower 48. But Holly still wonders about this sale that is so much larger than anything proposed in the Haines State Forest in decades.
The obvious question is, why now?
Myers says changes in federal forest management are putting pressure on the state to offer more timber sales to maintain the timber industry.
I do think there's a real concern that to maintain any sense of a viable industry, the state's going to have to pick up some of the slack.
Myers says he thinks the reason Haines hasn't had larger sales in recent years is because the need wasn't there.
But now those other sources are largely not available. So again, one of the challenges is how much of the slack does the state forest pick up and what are the consequences of that?
He says he ultimately thinks the consequences of the Baby Brown sale won't be negative for the local economy or environment, especially since he thinks it's unlikely that all 855 acres will be clear-cut in one big sale. The appellants have a few weeks to decide whether they want to bring their appeal to Superior Court. Holly says that's a difficult decision for them.
We would risk going broke if we lost in court, so it would be a really big gamble.
If the appellants don't take that step, then the Baby Brown timber sale will move into the next phase of developing forest land use plans for the sale area. Those plans are subject to public review and appeal. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
The deadline to use up $230,000 to make Picture Point into a picture-perfect park is looming. That money is coming from a National Scenic Byways grant and matched borough funds, with a planned pavilion, trails, and fire pits on the hook for completion by December 31st. Some decisions were made this week on the details, but others are still up in the air.
It is a scramble. There's been a lot of back and forth on this.
That was Brad Ryan, the borough public facilities director. He is the fifth person to take on this project in 4 years. Ryan met with the Picture Point Committee on Tuesday morning to iron out a few particulars. For example, they decided the pavilion will be built out of rough-cut spruce, and a cedar bridge will help folks cross a small creek between the north and south pullout. There's still the question of the fire pit. Barbecue pits like the ones at Clinkett Park have already been purchased, but there's talk of a larger fire pit or fireplace closer to or in the pavilion, so people can cook out and stay warm if the weather's bad. Here's Ryan talking to committee members.
So we also put out a design build for a masonry fireplace, because I'd heard masonry, maybe fire pit, fireplace. It doesn't much matter when you start talking masonry. And this time of year, the only person that's licensed as a contractor that would do this in town, was interested, showed interest, was Jim Stanford. And he gave me a bid of $20,000 to $24,000.
Stanford told Ryan that he couldn't commit to making the stone structure before the deadline, however, because there are too many weather variables. And it wasn't really the $24,000 price tag that made the committee members balk, but the extravagant design.
This is way more than I had envisioned, something like this.
Yeah. I was thinking just like a hole where you put wood and it burns and it goes up.
And you could maybe cook over the fire, or...
You could roast marshmallows.
Yeah, this is too fancy for the pavilion.
Yeah.
I mean, this is gorgeous. It would look lovely in Atlanta.
Well, I think we should go back to how even our original design was for the Picture Point. Like, this is what it could be, but we can scale it down.
Those were committee members Judy Heinmiller and Barbara Mulford. They agreed to do a little research to see if they could find a simpler design. But Ryan reminded them they need to make it quick. Ryan said they plan on getting the bulk of the work done by the deadline, but will apply for an extension in case the weather or anything else holds back progress. But extra time is not guaranteed. Leslie Ross is the borough's tourism director. She said the grant process for both the wayside money and the $500,000 land acquisition grant began in 2011. The larger sum was used to buy the land and put in the gravel parking areas, and the $230,000 of federal and borough money is being used for everything from construction to garbage cans and picnic tables. Ross says there's a good chance there'll be excess money at the end. The plan now is functional and aesthetically pleasing, but it's far from the original elaborate design.
The overall plan that they came up with is gorgeous. It was probably running like a $2 million plan originally, and so we've had to scope it down and just try to get a nice park out of it, which I think we're doing.
A welcome sign hung between two totem poles, along with some interpretive signs, will go up along with the shelter, stairs, and barbecues. The foundation for the pavilion is set to be poured any day now, and the construction will get underway soon after that. Ross and Ryan agreed that raising the structure is the light at the end of the tunnel. Ross said, after 4 years of the project changing hands and designs, everyone involved is just ready to get it finished. Customers who frequent the Captain's Choice Motel Lounge will have to settle for seltzer or coffee instead of beer or whiskey, but it's just temporary. The lounge recently lost its liquor license, but it wasn't for an alcohol violation. The motel lounge and several other properties around town are currently owned by the estate of Ed LaPerry, But a liquor license can't be held by an estate. It has to be held by a person. So the license was revoked. Motel supervisor Larry Beck says he's not sure when the license will be reinstated, but that they are working with the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board to get it back and get the taps flowing again. In the meantime, Beck thanked customers for their patience and their patronage. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.